You do not have to spend a lot of money to see the world. You just have to be smart about it.
Hello and welcome back to the FI Talk podcast. I'm your host, AJ. I'm here with my co-host, Pa, and we have a very, very special guest today. We are so excited. We're so hyped. We're so happy to have a guest that has a lot of experience with the personal finance and also traveling. And you know how me and Pa love to travel and talk about travel. So we are going to have a very nice conversation, a very good conversation with our guest today about money, about personal finance, and about travel, all the fun things that we like to talk about in this podcast. But before I bring our guest on, I would like to introduce my co-host, Pa. Pa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, AJ. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, too. I'm so excited about this episode and, you know, so pumped to have this special guest. Tell us more about her.
As you know, I mean, we've been trying to get her on the show for a while, even though we didn't tell her that. Since we started listening to the podcast that she does with her friends, the Debo Unfiltered podcast, and also her own personal podcast on the side called The Lotus Flower, which is PG, just for the folks to know, you know, no kids allowed. So, but I mean, since then, especially that episode that they did with, I think it was called Money and Marriage. You know, I think that was one episode that we both resonated with, you know, and then just how she was very comfortable, you know, talking about the money part and all of that. You know, that was one of the reasons why we wanted to get her on the show. But also, we just recently discovered that she's into something that we both love, which is traveling. She has this Instagram page called Traveling Sweet Jollof Mamas. How cool is that? That is just one of the nicest travel names that I've.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest today, none other than Anna Faibodna. Anna, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Listen, I'm more excited to be here because I've listened to your podcast and I feel like it's definitely something that we need, not just in the diaspora, but for our Africans that are also back home in the motherland, just to talk about money, get comfortable talking about money, and also like take away the taboo, especially for us women. I feel like when it comes to African women, there's two topics that they always want us to stay away from. One is money, and the second one is sex. Now, Pa, I know you mentioned my Lotus Flower podcast and you said it's PG, but what I think you meant to say is that it's R-rated. It's not
R-rated,
PG.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right, because that podcast goes into, you know, just normalizing having discussions and conversations about sex, sexuality, the enjoyment, and just to move away from the shame, you know, the guilt, the taboo, and the ugliness that comes around that topic. But back to talking about money. I love talking about money. I'm one of those girls that when we sit together to have a conversation, most women, it's we're either talking fashion, we're talking beauty tips, we're talking men. And I like us to talk money because especially now in this day and age, you find that a lot of women are actually head of household. We don't talk about it, but most of us are graduates. We have our masters. We've been making six figures for many years. We've set up ourselves. We've set up our children. And sometimes we marry men who are blue collar workers. Let's be honest. Sometimes we have to go back home to Africa to import our husbands. Let's talk about that also, right? And some of the time when they get here, just between filing for paperwork, waiting for them to get situated, waiting for them to be legal in the system, we are the ones that are heading the household. We're the ones financially responsible for the home, the mortgage, the kids, or maybe if you're renting, for the rent, the car note, all those things fall on our shoulders. And I think we don't really give women the platform to discuss what it is being in that position, especially African women. We're expected to muñ means to endure. To our audience, that's not Wolof speaking. Muñ is to endure. You're supposed to endure some of the hardships that you deal with in a marriage. But then we also need to give us space to talk about what it's like. Because most of the time, it's the first time we're put in that position where we are the main breadwinners. Mostly we grew up in a household, especially from our parents' generation, where our fathers were the ones bringing in the big income and our mothers were homemakers. And that was the setup. But then you do have some of us who our mothers were educated and working just as much as our fathers were. But still, dad was given kind of the title of the captain of the ship, the leader of the family, the one that probably made more money, because on average, we know that women make less than men. But yeah, I'm super excited to just go into all the different areas on this discussion, talk about money, talk about how women should feel comfortable talking about it, talk about traveling the world. And for women, giving ourselves the permission to travel without our husbands and without our children, just having individual experiences. I would love to go into that with you all.
Wow. This is one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you here, because just of how outspoken you are, how honest you are, and just how comfortable you are, you know, dealing with these topics. Also, you know, talking about your Lotus Flower podcast, you know, that is one of the reasons why my wife loves you, you know, because she has never encountered any Gambian woman like you that feels so comfortable, you know, talking about these things, you know, that are real, you know, these things are real, you know, these things are part of life, you know, so just that outspokenness. But my question to you before we get too deep into the episode is, what is your background, or what part of your background made you feel so comfortable talking about money?
I live such a sheltered life, to be honest. And I want to just talk about that, because sometimes we come from a very privileged background. And I consider myself coming from a privileged background where I got what I asked for. I got what I needed. My mom gave me a credit card, an American Express credit card, while I was in high school with no instructions, just here you go. And of course, I ran it up. The first week I spent $1,000 because you didn't tell me there was a budget. You didn't tell me this is how much you can spend. This is what you're supposed to spend on, only on emergencies. You just said, here you go. So I came from that background where I wasn't taught about money. It was just ask for it and you get it. So I learned about the importance of money much later in my life. And I was like, wait, why didn't anybody tell me how important it is that not only do we earn money, but that we're supposed to be saving it, investing it, that we're supposed to have it work for us and multiply? And I was like, whoa. So if I felt like somebody just pulled the wool over my eyes and I was, you know, exposed to the world of money and finances, and I took it on and just became a passion. I was like, I'm going to talk about this all the time, everywhere. I know some women think it's not tactful to discuss money in certain conversations or in certain social settings, or that it's something you only talk about behind closed doors. But I'm like, let's normalize talking about it so we can know how to make more. Because I love money. Money loves me. I want to be on the same great frequency with money so that it comes to me and I make it work for me and it multiplies. And I really have that attitude about a lot of things when it comes to my life. It's just being in alignment. I want to make sure that I have the right energy flow when it comes to just being healthy. For example, I make sure I go for walks every day. I will hit my 10,000 steps. Whether I got to cook, I have a late meeting. If there's no meetings in the afternoon, I'm going to put my sneakers on and go hit the track. Matter of fact, fun fact, I just joined my son's track team.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I was the first mom to ask the coach. I was like, listen, coach, we are here 3 times a week as the mamas bringing our kids. Like, can you work us? Can you also create a routine for us so that we can also get a workout in instead of watching the kids run and do all the stretches and do all the exercises? He was like, yeah. And I was like, of course, being very money conscious, I was like, can it be half off since my son is on the team as the mom? Can I get a discount? And he was like, yeah. So I became the first mom to join the track team. And guess what? The next week, 2 more moms asked if they could join. And we didn't even know this could be an option. Had I not asked, we would have just been there. Most of the time, we're either in the cars with our computers, or we're reading a book, or someone like me, I'm walking around the field, making sure I'm getting my steps. But I'm like, man, I'm seeing them doing some squats. They're working with bands. They're working with weights. But I could be doing that too. I know how to do that. I mean, I'm not that old. I'm just 41. Like, this body can still do some things. So I joined the track team. And now my son and I get to, like, after track, I'll ask him, hey, buddy, how do you think I did? And he'll be like, mommy, you know, like when we're doing the leg lifts, you know, you got to make sure you really lift your knees up high. And I'm like, son, these 41-year-old knees don't work the way yours do. Mommy's trying. But it's also a nice bonding for us. But just going back to being in alignment, when it comes to working out and staying fit, I do what I have to do or the most that I can. When it comes to making money, I'm always on the podcast. I'm listening to you guys. I'm listening to Patrice Washington, who talks about just how to make wealth, how to chase your purpose, not chase money. Because it's very important to understand that when you're chasing your purpose, don't worry about the money. It's going to come. Just do what you do and focus on honing your skills, and the money will come your way. I also listen to Rachel Rogers, who talks about, she has a book called We Should All Be Millionaires. And it's geared towards women. And I'm like, yes, those are the kind of topics I like to talk about. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be the first multimillionaire in my family. And I sing it from the top of my lungs all the time. And I'm not scared to say it, because most people are like, you don't say those things out loud. You're going to, you know, jinx yourself. It's like, no, say it out loud to the universe. But more importantly, put the actions and the steps behind it. Because so often we want things, but we don't take the actions behind it. And I have to say, this comes from being raised in a generation where we were told good things comes to those who wait. And let me tell you guys, that phrase has derailed so many women. Women are sitting waiting for the husband. They are waiting for the baby. They are waiting for the family they desire. They are waiting for the trips around the world because they think good things come to those who wait. But it's not that. Good things comes to those who do. You have to take action, right? I wanted to go to the Maldives for my 40th birthday. I wanted this big, epic vacation. And I wasn't going to leave it in the hands of my husband. I was like, no, this Maldives trip is something that I had put on my vision board. In 2019, I said, Maldives, Greece, and Bora Bora. These are three countries that I want to visit. I want to see it with my own naked eyes. And I said, for my 40th birthday, I'm going to plan it. I'm like, honey, you look into the tickets. I will look into the resort and make sure that we have these days blocked off on our calendars. Make sure my best friend's going to be available to come stay at the house with the kids for the entire week. And we're going to have a blast. But you have to take the actions. You can't want something and sit back waiting for somebody to do it for you. My children are 16 and 9. And at this age, I tell them, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody. It's not mommy's job. It's not daddy's job. It's your job when you want something to take the actions to help you get there.
Absolutely. Man, there's so much to unpack. And in just your first starting opening statements, Anna, it was I don't know which way we want to go with this podcast and this episode, because there's a lot to unpack here. First, you talked about money and marriage, and also you talked about travel. Also, you talk about health and working out and staying fit. I don't know which way we want to go with here, but, you know, it's your show. So let's just go with it. I was just listening to one of your episodes that you had on the Debo Unfiltered podcast about money and marriage. And you talked a little bit about student loans and coming into your marriage with student loans. Would you like to share that story or just whatever you feel comfortable sharing?
Oh, absolutely. So when I got married, now this is my second marriage, mind you. My first marriage, I was 22 years old. I was young, fell in love. You know, it was the best sexual experience of my life. I was like, this is it. It's him. This, I am going to marry this man, have his babies. And my dad was like, you're too young. You need to give yourself some time. You know, and I was like, no, I want to do it. So because my dad was against it, he decided, if you get married, I'm not going to pay for your master's. Because my undergraduate degree, my dad paid for it. We literally are one of those people that walked out of college debt-free with our first degree. And I give kudos to my dad, because my dad was like, I'm going to invest in your education. That's what I'm going to do for you. I might not buy you the fanciest cars. I might not buy you the fanciest dresses and purses and all those things, but I'm going to invest in your education. And he did that. Well, both my parents did, right? Because it takes a partner who's on the same page to be able to do that. And AJ, you and Pa, I've heard you talk about, you know, when you guys went for a walk, I'm not sure which one of you it was, trying to get your wife on the same page as you, and your wife questioning you about her wants. Because you were like, well, you know, it's time that we talk about budgeting, and we're going to get on this Dave Ramsey course. And your wife was like, well, what about the things that I want? Yes, it's good to check off the needs, but what about the wants, right? So my parents got on the same page when it came to let's invest in educating our children so they walk out debt-free. So then my punishment for getting married was, I'm not gonna pay for your master's. And I was like, guess what? I'm still gonna marry him. I don't care. So I got married. I went for my master's, and I had student loan. So that marriage didn't last, but alhamdulillah, I got a beautiful daughter out of it. So at 30 is when I got married for the second time with my now current husband. So I told him, I was like, I just need you to know that I'm walking into this marriage with some student loans. And he was brought up in Europe. He's like, student loans, what's that? I'm like, oh, it's this American thing where they charge you really high tuition fees to go get educated. It's not like your European system. And I told him how much it was and what my payment was. And at the time, I had deferred my payments for 6 months because I was out of the country, which you can do that. So I was like, well, so this is what I have left to pay off. And once the deferment is over, I'll pick up the payments again, but I'll be paying slowly. And just explain to him what student loans were, why I had it, that my dad refused to pay for my master's. So when he realized that this is debt that I was coming to the marriage with, he had no debt. He was walking into this marriage with, you know, what I would call positive net worth, where I was coming in with like a negative net worth because what? I had student loans looking at me. So he was okay with it. He was informed. And that's what I wanted. I wanted us to be transparent. I wanted him to know what my financial background looked like. And I wanted to know what his looked like, because now we're going to merge and become one as a couple, as a married couple. So I started paying off the student loan slowly. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And he's well aware. And it actually comes from the same account that we have, which we call our bills account. So the student loan payments are coming out of the bills account. And the bills account is where we both put money in to take care of all our bills, from, you know, rent to even kids' entertainment, cable, water, all that stuff comes from that same account.
All right. Well, that sounds amazing. As you know, you've listened to quite a bit of our podcast. Most of the things that we talk about here is financial independence. We do talk about early retirement, but we're not too focused on that. If you listen to our last episode, we talked more about enjoying our retirement now, you know, rather than just waiting until, you know, that golden age that everybody has on their mind and all of that kind of thing. Tell me what is your perspective about, you know, this whole FIRE movement, you know, having financial independence, you know, and tell me, what is your definition of a retirement? Are you part of those ones that want to wait until they are 65, 75? Or are you like me and AJ that we want to just enjoy our retirement now?
I'm like you, AJ, and your guests that you have that came on here that paid off $200,000 worth of debt in 3 years. What's his name? Was it
Ibu Champ? That's right.
I'm with you, AJ, and Ibu. Because I feel like when it comes to the FIRE movement, of course you have fat FIRE, you have slim FIRE. And I just am not the kind of person that wants to be pinching pennies at this stage in my life so that I can save up to retire early. And then do what? Like, I feel like at this young age, this is the perfect time to live out your retirement. Now, AJ, I think it was you who talked about a lot of people who are now getting into the phase of trying out these mini retirements where you'll take off like maybe 6 weeks, or you'll take off like 3 months in the year where you're not working. You can go to any country with your family. Especially this is very appealing for people who have children, because during the summertime is the perfect time to test that out. Like they're during their summer break, you get to maybe, let's say you go to Greece, you know, it's very cheap there. So you rent a house for 3 months, you're not working, your spouse is not working, you get to just feel what it's like to be retired, but you're young and you're able-bodied. I feel the same way. I feel like I like feeling like I'm retired while I'm getting my checks still, because number one, you have that backing, right? You're like, yeah, you know, in 2 weeks, that money's going to hit your account and things are going to look really and feel really good. Number two, you're young enough to be able to, when you go to Greece, walk up the 1,000 steps that you need to walk up to get to that Greek monument, right? Because waiting until you're in your 60s or in your 70s to do all these things, number one, your body's not working with you. You see people who go to these places they waited their whole lives to go to, and they're falling asleep because it's their nap time, because they're so old.
No, seriously, Anna, that opened my eye when we went to Paris, my wife and I, and we went to see the Mona Lisa. Uh-huh. And it was kind of like a long line. And I saw some old people. I don't know how long they waited to go see Mona Lisa. But, you know, the love is not like you got to walk around. It's a big building.
Yes.
So these people are in wheelchairs and, you know, there's not a lot of elevators everywhere. So you got to take these stairs and stuff. And I mean, I was like, wow, we were there for 4-5 hours and we were tired. Right. Imagine these people who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s in wheelchair. And it opened my eye to like, wow, we need to start doing these things now while we're able to. Just like you said, you know, they might be on vacation and we're falling asleep.
Exactly.
I didn't want to cut you off, but please go ahead.
No, I agree with you. It's real. You see it. Actually, on my way from Barcelona, I was on the flight with this lady who was sitting next to me. And she asked me if it was my first time. I said, yes. She asked me if I was alone. I said, yes. I asked her. She said the same. She said, I have wanted to come to Barcelona with my husband. For many years, we've been talking about it. And my husband just died. Mm. And I decided I'm going to come because I don't want to wait until I die as well. Mm. And she's so old. You could tell, like, she was like, it was such an exhausting trip for her. She was there for a week. And I saw that and I'm like bouncing. I am full of energy. I'm invigorated. I'm super excited. I have all the pictures and the videos. I can't wait to pose to show, you know, my husband and my children. And you can tell she was just like, get me home. Like she was just exhausted. So that's why I feel like everything has its time. When you're super young, that's the time for you to go to the club. That's the time for you to drop it like it's hot. That's the time for you to do all the twerking, right? And enjoy yourself. You don't wait until you're in your 50s and you're like, yeah, I'm going to start club hopping and twerking and dropping it to the floor. You might drop it, but you might not come back up.
That's right. That's right.
You know? So I feel like doing it while we're young and able-bodied is the best way to see the world.
Hey, that is the thing that me and AJ discovered, you know, through our walks. You know, we had a friend that, you know, has been doing this. You know, he has this thing that he does that, you know, every year he takes 3 vacations, one that is just solo and the other one that's just him and the wife. And the other one is him and the family. And, you know, he has always been, you know, kind of telling us, you guys got to start doing these things. You got to start doing these things. So, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, we're like, you know what? Let's just see how it is, you know, because AJ and I'm sure he will tell you this, that, you know, he hasn't had a spouse trip, you know, in a while. And I haven't done that.
About to bring that up because he told me when he asked me, when was the last time you and your wife went on vacation? Just the two of you. And I said, we were pregnant with our first son.
Wow.
And he goes, in 13 years, you didn't take her on a vacation, just the two of you. I mean, we went out, we've traveled, but with the kids, you know, everywhere we go, it's with the kids.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, I have not taken her anywhere, just the two of us. So that a month later, we took a trip to Canada, just a quick weekend getaway to Canada. Mm-hmm. It was good. And so we planned the Paris trip. It was good.
Another one.
See you soon. Watch it out.
Yeah,
I gotta catch up. I gotta catch up, Anna.
Yeah, but can you tell her what your wife told you when you guys were getting ready to come back from Canada? I think that is the exciting part.
Yeah. So when we the first trip we went, just the two of us, was in Canada, and we were just packing up, getting ready to go back. Come back home, and she folded her arms and stood at the corner and said, I'm not leaving this hotel until you promise me you're going to take me somewhere else. So, and I said, I promise you, we're going to go somewhere else, just me and you. And, you know, later, you know, last summer we went to Paris, just the two of us, and we're planning our 15th year anniversary next year.
Amazing. I love those stories, and I feel like those are the stories that you guys tell that resonates with your audience, right? Because we're all sitting in our marriages, we're all dealing with children and jobs, and we're trying to figure out, how do we fit in time with your spouse? How do you fit in time just for yourself? And then how do you create these memories with your children? Because like they say, you blink and they're gone.
Yep, that is true.
And for the most part, Anna, it's kind of like sometimes you worry more about, how am I going to, if I travel, who's going to take care of this? He's going to take care of this.
Right.
My friend said, just put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar. When we were planning our trip, Pa and I were supposed to go with our wives, you know, and we just put it on the calendar and everything worked out. We didn't know. I mean, I didn't know it was going to all come together, and it was like, okay, let's just put it on the calendar, and if it doesn't happen, we could push it for another, you know, 6 months, a year or so. But you know, things always work out if you start planning for it, and you know, absolutely, that's just the exciting, and that's just eye-opening for me, because you know, this is new to me. It's kind of new to me.
Yeah,
but I wanted to ask you, go ahead, Pa.
Oh no, I was just gonna touch on, you know, the kids part. You know, our friend, he just told us, screw the kids and just go. You know, so that was so, you know, so radical, you know, that I was like, man, you know what? I think he's right, because there's one thing that he said. He's like, if you guys do not invest in your marriage right now and you keep using these kids as an excuse, these kids are going to grow and they're going to go. And after they leave, they're going to leave the two of you in the house.
Yep.
If you guys did not build that chemistry, if you guys do not have that bond, the marriage could be in trouble, because it was all based on the kids only. And now the kids are grown and gone. So that was a light bulb, you know, that went on, you know, in my head. I'm like, wow, that I didn't know there was this thing called investing in your marriage, you know, that traveling solo, you know, with your spouse, you know, and all of these things are all things that will help the marriage when the kids are gone. You know?
Absolutely.
And his daughter actually expects that them to travel now every year, just the two of them. And his daughter keeps saying, you know, I know you guys are going to ditch us at sometime this year. So it's expected. But what's funny, though, the kids are so happy for us.
Exactly.
When we travel, they were so happy for us. They were so excited. You know, they just want us to just go and have fun. And we were worried about these people.
I know, because for me now. Now we have this tradition now in our house now that our anniversary, the kids know that they are not going. It's just me and my wife. So now they are in charge of choosing for us the places there. The places where we will go. So we will have a list, and they will kind of choose for us, you know, that this place would be nice, you know. So
that's nice.
I mean, if you are using the kids as an excuse not to, you know, invest time, you know, in your marriage, please think about it again, you know, especially when the kids have started growing and starting to understand, you know, just talk to them and see what they will say. You know, they will be really happy for you. They really
would. Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, I was actually binging your Instagram yesterday, and I saw solo traveling, especially for a woman. I have not done solo traveling yet. I always tell Par that there are places that I wanted to go. I want to go by myself. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's places I want to go with my wife. There's places I want to go with the whole family. Mm-hmm. How does anyone get started solo traveling? And also, I know for my wife, too. I mean, if she wants to solo travel, especially for a woman. I mean, I feel like for a man, it's a little easier. But for a woman, too, How do you get started with that?
Why would you say, AJ, that it's easier for a man? I think it's harder for a married man to go on a solo travel, man. You know, you think these ladies are going to let you go on a solo travel like that?
I was just thinking safety-wise, but...
I'm thinking about the other part, you know.
Yes. I mean, you're thinking about your wife letting you go.
You're letting me go all by myself.
I see your point.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, it's, again, I come back to giving yourself permission as a mom, because we are programmed and indoctrinated into being the domestic goddess. And we feel like when we leave, everything's going to fall apart. And guess what, mommy? If everything falls apart, they're still going to be okay. If they don't eat dinner at 8 and they eat dinner at 9:30, it's all right. If the laundry doesn't get done while you're gone, it's okay. Like, nothing is going to fall apart to the point where when you come back, your children and your spouse are going to be like flat out gone. Like, everything somehow, it's just that it won't be on mommy's schedule. But I think first you have to figure out, where do you want to go as a solo traveler? What's the place you want to go to? Like, I went to Greece because I've always wanted to go to Athens. I grew up with a dad who was a track star when he was much younger than later. He was a track coach. So I grew up with track and field in my house. We always talked about, you know, the first Olympics. We always talked about Greece. And going to Athens was something that's always been on my bucket list. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do for my second trip. Because my first trip, I went to Barcelona. But first things I think for mom is make sure that you have a list. Make the list and just make sure everyone knows what the plan is. Then you have to trust your network, and you have to have a network. And your network needs to start with your spouse. After your spouse, it's the older children, right? Because you got to utilize the people that are right there in the circle with you before you even start reaching outside of the house. Make sure your husband knows. Make sure the older kids know. Make sure the younger kids know as well where you're going, why you're going, and involve them in the process. Also, while you're gone, keep in contact with your children. It's important that they hear from you. They know that you're okay. You can share FaceTime, do Skype, do phone call, text, send some pictures, just so they know that mommy is okay, because sometimes we underestimate how much our children worry about us, just as we worry about them. Also, involve your children in learning about the world. So before you go, hey, this is where I'm going. This is the part of the world that it's in. This is the language that they speak, just to get them excited about your trip instead of being sad that mommy's going. Mm-hmm. Also, while you're gone, make sure you get to enjoy some of the luxuries. Take a spa day. Just one day or half a day, make sure that you just take care of yourself, because sometimes solo traveling can be a lot. There's a lot of walking. There's a lot of hopping on and off buses. There's a lot of tours. And as a woman, you always want to make sure that you're safe. So for me, I always advise on my channel to make sure that you have a reputable company, or preferably a shuttle from the hotel, come pick you up from the airport, because you want to make sure you get to the airport safely. Also, make sure that there's always someone who's tracking you, whether it's your husband, your best friend, your eldest daughter or son. Like, I've landed. I just went through customs or immigration. I'm getting in the cab, you know, just so someone's tracking you and they know what's going on. Also, talk with your support networks. Make sure that when you get there, everyone knows you've arrived. Just give them a quick itinerary of what is the plan for the day, so people are in the know. Set your boundaries. What does that mean? Your kids can't be calling you all the time. Mommy's on a solo trip. So you don't want to get that call. Well, Halima took my bag and Omar is not letting me. Like, no. I don't want to hear that. I am on a solo trip. I want to have a good time. Go tell daddy. So you got to make sure that you set your boundaries. One of the hardest thing I think for moms is to let go of mom guilt. My major takeaway is to take a lot of pressure away from yourself when you're traveling, is to make sure that you give yourself the space to know that you deserve this for you. So many of us women, when we get married and have children, we put ourselves in the back burner. We don't prioritize our wants and our needs. It's always the children and the husband. So you got to let go of that mom guilt. Your children are going to be fine. you married this man because you knew he was going to be a great father. So now give him the opportunity to stand up and be a great father. You can't try to micromanage while you're gone. It doesn't work, right? And lastly is you have to be present. While you're in the country that you're in, go out and experience, eat the local food, walk around, take pictures. Make sure you take a pretty dress that makes you feel good. Put on some makeup. Or if you're a girl who likes, you know, bangles and necklaces, like, because how often do we get the chance to actually just doll up? We're always in what I like to call, and my best friend is going to hate me using this term, my uniform at home. It's my Fatujola uniform. But she's always like, stop saying Fatujola. You're a serier. So say Anasirir. So I'm always in my Anasirir uniform. That's when you put on your head tie, you put on your African dress, and you're ready to mop, cook, laundry, fold, you know. So not often do we get the chance to just doll up and just feel pretty and smell good and not have to run after anybody and clean over anybody and just be, just have the time to be. Lastly, I'm going to say is take a journal, because you're going to be so surprised by the thoughts that are going to come through your mind, all that time that you have. Allow yourself to just go inward. Write your thoughts. Some of the things you even forgot that you used to like to do. And like, make a list of like when you want to do them, or just reminding yourself that you used to like those things. So journaling really helps make the experience even that more meaningful, because when you come back maybe a month later, you're able to go through and be like, oh man, I can't believe these were my thoughts while I was in Barcelona. Oh wow, this is what I was thinking when I was in Greece. So those are just some of the things I would advise for a solo mom traveler. I think the biggest one for the moms is definitely the mom guilt. In one of my posts, I had shared a text that I sent to my husband while I was at the airport saying that I was very happy that I've decided to be very purposeful and intentional about my life and how I want to lead it. However, I was getting on this flight still feeling mom guilt because my son had cried the night before because he knew that I was leaving early in the morning. And those tears haunted me. And my husband was like, girl, go and have a good time. You'll be fine. Wow. So it's also great to have a supportive spouse who's going to tell you when you share those thoughts, who's going to tell you, don't worry, I got the kids. Go out and have fun. Right?
Wow. That is deep. That is deep. Because I was just listening to you here and I'm thinking, wow, that journal that you wrote right there, it's very deep. Because I'm thinking about Jim Rohn saying the three things that you can leave behind that are more important than your couch and your furniture is one, your pictures, you know, number two, your library, and number three is your journals. Those are three really important things that you can leave behind. But definitely a lot to learn from what you just said.
Yeah, I think the thing that stood out to me is the thing about, you know, as a woman, you know, how much, like, how many times do they have the chance to kind of doll up, you know, look good, you know, and do all of these things. And these are things that I just started, you know, seeing in my marriage now. I've been married for about 16 years now, you know, but when we started doing this whole traveling thing, I mean, the exciting part of it, about the whole thing is the preparation.
You know, absolutely.
The moment we decide that we're going to go to a place, whether it's 6 months away or whether it's, you know, 6 days away, just how excited she gets, you know, the packing, you know, the buying of the clothes, you know, going to fix her nails, you know, and all of these kind of things. And these are things that make me happy. You know, these are just things that really make me happy, seeing her, you know, being so excited about wanting to do all of these kind of things. You know, it is just that investing in your marriage again, which is really, really, really exciting. But
the Fatujola uniform, though, that's hilarious, Anna, because when we were going to Paris.
No, it's Anna Siri now. Now it's Anna Siri.
Anna Siri.
Exactly, right?
No, but seriously, when we were going to Paris, we packed up so much stuff that when we got to the airport, especially for my wife, because, you know, she don't, you know, I would like her to get dressed up, you know, get all those bags that you've been accumulating, you know, that you wanted, the purse that you wanted to, you know, carry with you. let's take all of it. You know, we want to dress up every day nice. When we got to the airport, they say, okay, you can take one suitcase, and then the other one is like $200 or some outrageous. So we unpacked, because we were packing a lot for 5 days. it was a lot for 5 days. So we called my cousin. It's like, hey, come back over here. You know, there's so much of this stuff that we don't really need. Can you take them back home? But what was good is that, you know, I like the fact that she wants to dress up, you know, every day while we're over there. You know, the things that she's been accumulating that we don't get to wear every time, we don't get the chance to wear them around here. You know, just enjoy those. And I really appreciate you touching on just pampering yourself.
And the other part about this whole thing is that, you know, when you go on these trips, we've never done solo trips yet. So we're just going to talk about trips that we have taken with our wives. When I take a trip with my wife, the conversations are different. You know, we are talking about totally different things. And she seems like a totally different person to me. Just because of the excitement that I see in her, you know, how happy she is. And during one of our trips to Vancouver, you know, she was very, very open to me. You know, she was able to talk to me in a way that, she's never talked to me like that. And all I did was just sit down and just listen. And all along, I realized that this is all she needed. All she needed was for me just to listen, just so that she can talk, you know, and, you know, say all these things that she has always wanted to say, but never had the chance to say it. Because I mean, as much as like as big as our houses are, you know, as fancy as they are not really the most comfortable places to talk about some things. You know, some of these things you have to get out of the house and be able to talk about it. So like, these are some of the things that I really appreciate about traveling. But now to dive deep into this whole traveling thing with your new traveling blog on Instagram, you've talked about going to Barcelona. That is your first solo trip. Am I right?
Yes.
And you've talked about going to Greece. I know AJ is more interested in the Greece part because, you know, he's into history and all of those kind of things. And Greece is one of
his Greek history, Roman history, Egyptian history. I want to go. I'm really interested in.
So can you start with the Barcelona? I mean, I've never been to Barcelona. I don't think AJ has ever been there either. So just go ahead and tell us, you know, what was the experience in Barcelona, and then touch a little bit on the Greece part also.
Yeah. And before jumping into that, I just wanted to say, when you get the chance to travel with your spouse, like the both of you have, and I do as well with my husband, we got the chance to go to Ghana. It was my first time in Ghana. It wasn't his. Another way of really connecting deeply while you're on these trips with your spouse is, let's just be honest, the sex is better. I don't know if it's because you're out of your home, the kids are not there, but you're really able to connect in an intimate way. And you're able to also just live out some of your sexual fantasy. And for my solo travel tips, I also talk about that. Like, ladies, listen, this is the perfect time to try that toy you always wanted that you don't get to use at home because your husband's always there ready to jump on you. This is the time. Take that toy with you on that solo trip and enjoy. And also for the couples, right? Like, it's the perfect time to take some of these sex toys with you on these trips. I remember when my husband and I went to the Maldives, we were like, oh, we're taking this one, we're taking this one, we're gonna try this one there. Yes, because I feel like just being in a different environment allows you a different mindset.
That's true.
And a different level of freedom. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings back spark into the marriage, and you get to take that back home with you, right? So when you get home, the kids are going to notice mommy and daddy a little bit more lovey-dovey than usual.
That's
You're
right.
Like, because you don't know what mommy and daddy were up to over there.
And, you know, that's the whole plan. You know,
not only that, but also the dating, you know, the going out on dinners, the going out on walks, those kind of things. It's just those moments that you guys have together.
And just to say, you know, I mean, these are just not things that ladies like only. I love these things as well. You know, men may not be that vocal, you know, about their feelings and all of these kind of things. But, you know, just like you said, I mean, the sex part, you know, it's exciting. I mean, you know, the going out on dates, you know, the dressing up and eating all this exotic food. these are all things that I really enjoy, you know, so yeah. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yes,
and sometimes there's some moments that you don't even plan for, you know, like when right. when we went to Vancouver and we were coming out of the car and it was raining and the valet was holding this umbrella for my wife.
Yes,
and I
yes.
just took a picture of that. And my friend was like, you cannot pay enough money for this picture. Oh. This
no, you
is
should
so
see
amazing,
that picture.
You know,
you should see that picture. That picture is,
you know,
amazing.
I mean, it was not planned. I was like, oh, well, you know, let me just take a picture of it and send it to my kids. You know,
right.
So, you know, those are just the exciting parts of the travel. Yeah.
Yes.
Go back so to
couple trips are a must. They definitely infuse a whole new energy and vibe into our marriages. Those of us that have been married for so long. I know I've only been married 10 years. I believe both of you over 15 years each. So, you know, it gives that zhuzh that you need after being married for so long. So I'm all about couples trips, but back to the solo traveling. Barcelona was my first solo trip. And one of the things that I have to say that surprised me when I got there was the number of Gambians that I saw.
Wow.
And the number of squatter Gambians. So I was staying at the W Hotel, which was super nice. It was by the water. There was the view, there's lots of tourists there. But as you walk around the boardwalk, I heard Gambian men fighting because they were dumpster diving. And it literally broke my heart.
Hmm.
And I had to get myself together because I was like, these are my brothers. Mm-hmm. And you can tell they're the people that come through the back way. Mm-hmm. And they end up in Barcelona, but they don't have any jobs. They don't have any shelter. They're literally wearing all the clothes that they own because during the day it's warm, but at night, especially by the water, it gets cold and windy. And they had the prayer beads, you know, the kurus,
mm-hmm.
and some of them were bifal. So they were like singing out loud, like singing God's name and everything. And because I could pick up on the Wolof right away, I was able to identify, oh my God, these are my people. So I went over there and I was giving them money and they were just praying for me. But that's something that stood out for me while I was in Barcelona. Apart from that, some of the things that I got to do was, again, I did the cable car where you get to get on the cable and it takes you all the way up in the sky and you're able to take a full view of the city and its beauty. And it's so nice because you have the water, then you have the mountain, and then you have the buildings. And it's such a touristy town also, I have to say, that you feel safe because there's so many other people that are from somewhere else. The food was good. The people are friendly. It didn't connect. Barcelona, for me, didn't take away my breath and it didn't steal my heart. But AJ, be careful when you go to Greece. AJ, I got to Greece and I was like, I'm home. I was like,
wow.
Especially when I took a cruise that took us to three different islands. I can't pronounce the name of the island, so please forgive me. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to try now because I'll butcher them. But the first island we got to was the small island that only has 700 people that live on the island. It's very quiet and quaint and sweet, and the waters are clear, and people are just living such simple lives. Something about the simplicity just connected with me. I don't know. I felt like I was in Bacau. You know, I felt like I was in Tangi. It's just that these happen to be white-skinned people and my people are black-skinned people, you know, but it literally felt like home. And then something about the food, it's, you know, it's then bugayapa. They love meat. Mm-hmm. And we come from a culture, or maybe it's the serer in me that's speaking, or we then
bugandawa. I know.
You know? And the food is nice and seasoned, and they eat everything with yogurt. Also, what I felt like was the people were so kind and humble. I felt like in Barcelona, I didn't really connect much with the people, neither did I connect much with the land, but I was just in awe of the beauty of the place. But in Greece, I really felt something. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely coming back. I want to go back with my husband so we can go to Santorini. I want to go back with the kids so we could do another trip to Athens and do the islands as well. And then, you know, Greece is such a historic place, AJ.
Absolutely.
So much to see. So you have to have good walking shoes. so you can do all the tours because dinga doha 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 detai. And it's such a mountainous country also. A lot of the monuments are like all the way up. So it'll take you like an hour and a half to get there. And you want to, of course, take a picture. You feel like you've accomplished something doing all that walk to get there. But I have to say, with each travel, like, for example, when we went to Ghana with my husband, that wasn't solo travel, but it was with my husband. Man, I felt like I was home. I was like, Ghanaians are my people. Like, I can see myself living here. I was telling my husband, man, like, I wish State Department would send me on a job to Ghana for 5 to 7 years, because I feel like that would be perfect for me. The Ghanaian people are so calm and they're so welcoming, kind of reminded me of Gambians, because, you know, we're tourist countries. So We have this very open attitude towards people from the outside. And also they're very humba, like Senegalese. Like, their nightlife is really fun. They love to dance. They sing out loud to every song. So I feel like with each trip, you get to connect with the people or not. You get to connect with the land itself or not. Sometimes you're certain places, you know, just pull your soul. You feel like either you've been here before or something about the place just, you know, resonates with your spirit. I'm a very spiritual person, not so much religious, but I'm a very spiritual person. So just having my journal and journaling while we were taking the boat to the different islands was also such an experience. I felt like it was an aha moment. So many aha moments I had on the boat, just thinking back on my life, my marriage, my children, being intentional about the things I want to do, the things I want to experience. And also, again, going back to giving myself permission to do these things outside of the title of being wife, mother, career woman, entrepreneur, just more. People who know me from back home call me more. I know I go by Anna Butner. Oh. Anna Fi Butner. But the people who really know me call me moi. So I felt like I was in my moi element when I was in Greece, and it just felt great. And I wanted to come back to something that I've heard you say in several of your episodes. I'm not sure if it's Pa or AJ, but you always say this quote that you should spend extravagantly on the things you love and cut costs mercilessly on the things you don't. And I feel like that's what I'm doing. I'm in this space in my life where I am like, I am not the girl that likes Chanel's and name brand things. I didn't grow up with a mom who was into those things. She was very elegant, but very simple. So we traveled a lot while we were growing up. And that's where my love for travel started. So you won't find me shopping expensive things because it's not something I'm interested in. But you'll definitely find me planning trips, several trips throughout the year, because that's where my love is. And that's where my curiosity is. And that's what piques my interest. And I feel like I'm living in my true authentic self.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack right there, Anna. We're going to come to the money part of this travel. And because you said, I mean, I've always made that quote. The quote was from a book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. Spend mercilessly on the stuff that you love and cut back on the stuff that you really don't care about. You know, I mean, I haven't bought a new car in 11, 12 years. So, but, you know, I just resonate very well with you, with the destinations and the people, because you just put Greece up top of my list right now. I mean, it's been on my list, but it's going up, you know, because like when we went to France, I was in awe with the place. And, you know, and how the society works and their train stations and their, you know, their buildings, and the whole place was in awe, but I didn't connect with the people. One of the episodes that we interviewed Mr. Ibu Cham, he was talking about his travel to Jamaica, where he just felt like he just went back to Gambia, but just didn't recognize his uncles. You know, he was just at home. And, you know, that's just so amazing that you touch on that. But also, I really appreciate you talking about the lows of travel when you went to Barcelona with the things that people don't really talk about on a travel podcast or a travel blog is, you know, the lows, especially when seeing other people, your own people, not doing so well. Oh. And, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, honesty that you brought to that.
So for me, I mean, I appreciated everything that you said, you know, about your whole traveling experience, you know, from the Barcelona and from the Greece. And it seems like you kind of answered one of the questions that I was about to ask was, I mean, now we've seen this whole thing now where most people retiring outside the United States, you know, they go into these European countries, you know, the cost of living is way lower over there and all of these things. So I was just going to ask you, from all the travels that you've done, you know, and I know you're just getting started with this, you know, but it seems like Greece is that place where if you were to pack up now and just go and stay somewhere else, you know, it seems like Greece is one of your top destinations, you know, am I right?
For sure. I actually told my husband, I was like, we need to buy a vacation home in Greece. I think that's where we should retire, baby.
Absolutely.
And you know what? There's a lot of American expats that have retired there. Like if you go to some of the islands, you will find Americans have bought 2-3 houses. Mm-hmm. Some of them, they're renting them out. Some of them, they live there. And also as a retiree, your pension, what it can afford you, the lifestyle it can afford you in Greece, you could never in America. On the boat, the staff, I made really great friends with the staff. One of them was from South Sudan. His name was Sam. Another one was from Egypt. His name was Hassan. Another one was Mr. Trawale. He was the chef on the boat, and he's from Ivory Coast. And so you find a lot of immigrants that are there, and they've been there for many years. They married to Greek women. They have their families there. And one of them was telling me that the mother-in-law, what is an American, came back to retire there. And with her pension, she's able to have two workers. One is a nurse that takes care of her, and another one takes care of the home and food and cooking. And she was like, the mother-in-law was telling him, I couldn't be able to afford this kind of lifestyle if I stayed in the U.S. because the pension wouldn't go far enough to be able to take care of any of my needs in this way.
You mentioned the boat. So you went there, and then what's the boat about? Is that
It's a boat cruise. From Athens, yes, you get a boat cruise, and it's under $200. I think it was $160 for one person. I think for a couple, there's like a discount. It still will come under $200. You get food. They take you to 3 different islands. You get to shop on the islands. You also have swimming time where you get to swim in the ocean out in the, I mean, it was absolutely breathtaking, beautiful. And I can be very friendly and open. So I made some friends. I found some other solo travelers that I connected with. And I'm the kind of person, when I see my people, I do not hesitate. Like, I'm like, brother, where are you from?
And also staying healthy and staying fit. I saw you riding a bike and all that stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I am a dress girl. Anywhere you take me, I am going to put on a dress. As I share, I am not the fashion girl. Like, I know nothing about fashion. So the easiest thing for me is to wear a dress. But I will put on some tights under my dress if we need to do anything physical. So we rented some bikes. We're able to go around the islands, and it was steep hills. So you felt like you were really getting a workout in. And we did that for about 45 minutes. And as a solo traveler, I was by myself. So I was just stopping, taking pictures and videos for my family and sending it to them like, guys, you're going to love it here. Trust me.
I think the one that I liked the most was the horse carriage. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, so that was the last island we went on. So we rented a buggy, a horse and carriage, and it took us around. And that's the island that is very known for its pistachio. They produce a lot of pistachio nuts. They have a huge pistachio farm, and these are all family owned, and they create the products in their kitchens. They come and they sell it at the stalls. So I did videos and sessions of all of that, all of which is on my Traveling Sweet Jollof Mama's page. So everybody, please feel free to go on there, follow me, check it out. And I don't know what the next destination is, but I feel like it's probably going to be a cold place because we're in the winter time now. I would like to go to Zurich in Switzerland. I'd like to take a trip. I promised my son a one-on-one trip, and he's going to get to pick. And I have a feeling he's going to pick Germany because my husband's from Germany. And we have some family members there. I took a one-on-one trip with my daughter where I took her to New York City. So we do a lot of traveling because traveling is what makes me happy.
That is
nice.
Nice. Yeah, that is really nice.
Man, and also, I mean, that's another thing that we need to add on our list, Pi, is taking kids on travel. Like, yeah. You know, our friend told us that when he took his daughter to New York, just the two of them, him and his daughter, and he was like, I got to know my daughter better just by being, you know, in a hotel room with her for, you know, 4 or 5 days. So I think that's another thing we need to learn from Anna.
Yeah, definitely.
But, so we talk about how we pay for travel. Sometimes we talk about paying cash. As much as we love to travel, we're also money savvy, and we talk about money on this in this podcast. And if you see my budget, as Par, he saw my budget. So I'm very much into the spreadsheets and stuff. But I don't mind spending on travel, but at the same time, if I could get it for cheaper or for less, we do credit card reward points, we transfer points. When Pa asked me about this, I remember you telling me that you were like, man, I heard about this credit card points. What do you think about it? I was like, I'm already doing that. So how do you finance these travels? Because, you know, some could be expensive.
Yes. So I actually get to travel anywhere around the world for damn near free because my husband works for United. So we get discount tickets. So that's my hack.
Wow.
That's what I wanted
to
share.
That is so cool.
Yes.
Man, is the best hack.
That is the best. And it's one of those things that as the person who works for United, you don't really get to enjoy the benefits, but it's your family that gets to enjoy the benefits.
Nice.
Because he's always working, but the kids and I get to do the traveling. So now there's kind of a downfall to it, which is that we travel on standby. Okay. So that means whenever we're traveling, my husband will have to check on the load. He will let us know, okay, there are several seats on this flight that are empty. So this is a good flight to take. If it's a full flight, he'll let us know. You guys don't want to get on this flight because it's a full flight. So we usually know going on that we're going to be able to make it based on the load for that flight. So very rarely do we find ourselves stuck. However, it does happen. Like, for example, when I went to Barcelona, when I went, it was time to go back home, the flight was full. So I always create space in my budget for an extra day or two to be able to take a hotel, get transportation, go stay somewhere for a night and come back to the hotel, I mean, to the airport the following day to try and get on that flight. And he'll let me know in the morning, like, okay, baby, take the afternoon flight. There's lots of space on there, so you're good to go. So with that, traveling is very inexpensive for me and my family.
Hey,
and
let me ask you this.
Very transparent.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Do they allow friends to tag along or so?
Now, yes. Yes, friends can tag along. Those things are called buddy passes. However, with a buddy pass, you're not the top priority. So as a dependent, when you're traveling standby, we are priority over like someone who has a buddy pass.
Oh,
so it goes by seniority, exactly. Mm-hmm. However, if there
and
is another... if there's another United employee that's traveling on standby, they will take priority over us. So that's how that works. But from the list on the United app, you're able to see who's on standby. And you can see like what number do you rank? So you have an idea based on the number of seats that are available and the list, will I be able to get on this flight? So my husband is very involved in my solo travels because he has to be the one who's figuring all that out for me. Then when it comes to hotels, my aunt works for Marriott. So we get Bonvoy points.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Wow. You got it. AJ, man, what are we doing?
But man, we need to know important people that are working in the right place.
You know?
That's right. So with the Bonvoy points, you can go on the app, you book your hotel, any of the Marriott hotels. And as you guys know, Marriott now owns the Ritz-Carlton.
Yep.
Marriott owns so many of the Autograph Collection hotels. So you're talking about 5-star hotels, really nice. And that's the place where, for me, I do not want to skim on. I want to make sure that I'm going to be super comfortable no matter where I go. And I don't want to get a cheap hotel and end up in a shady neighborhood, I'm traveling by myself, especially for the solo trip. But yes, so through the Bonvoy app, we're able to get super cheap hotels Like when I stayed at the W Hotel by the water in Barcelona, it was $500 a night. And I was paying $134 a night.
Wow.
Nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. Oh, so you're really, it's a steal. You.
It is.
When I go to stay at the Ritz-Carlton, because sometimes my husband and I will do what we call staycations. We just need away from the kids. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go too far. Maybe we feel like it's going to be a really freaky weekend and we can't have it at the house. We need to go to the hotel. Yeah. So hey. We'll do staycation. Okay. And just to go stay by the water, by the waterfront in Georgetown, at the Ritz-Carlton, we will pay like less than $100 a night.
Wow.
Where
wow.
people are paying $400. So it depends on the season. You also want to just check to make sure that the time that you're traveling, especially for those of us that travel standby, is not the high season. Because during the high travel season,
that's right.
Oh, trust me, you will get stuck somewhere. And not just for a day or two, but for a really long time. And in those cases, what my husband will do is get us rebate tickets. So we're still getting tickets at a discounted price. But for hotels, I always tell anyone who's following me, you can always go to Expedia Group. You can always go to Hyatt. You can always go into TripAdvisor. These are all websites where you can look for cheap hotels. They give you discounted prices, but at the same time, they're good for 5-star. Same with the tickets. When it comes to the tickets, go to Hotwire to find your ticket. Go to Priceline. Go to Expedia. Go to Orbit. You just have to make sure that you're being really intentional about the fact that I want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I have a budget that I've created. I can't go past that. So what are the things that are available to me as far as website, as far as hotels and tickets? What's available to me that I can get at a discounted price so that I don't go past my budget, right? You do not have to spend a lot of money to see the world. You just have to be smart about it and put some time and thought into it. Do a little bit of research. Some people will spend hours on Instagram scrolling. You could take those hours online checking what are the ticket prices for, especially if you know when you want to travel. Let's say I want a trip in November. Let me just see what the ticket prices are. What are the hotels looking like? Where do I want to go? And that's a good place to start.
Wow. Did you hear that part? You do not have to spend a lot to go see the world. You
that just is
have
true.
To be that smart is true. About it.
That is going to be my takeaway lesson. Talking
and that, yeah, that's just, yeah. You know, resonated in my head. You know, it's a lot of wisdom being dropped over here. Yeah, not only did you touch on the family hacking, which is amazing, the Marriott Bonvoy and yes. United, but also you explained to our audience how to get the tickets for cheap if they don't have that luxury of having somebody that works for those flights and hotels. That's absolutely. Really, really key.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, just to touch a little bit on some of the things that you talked about, especially the Marriott Bonvoy, I have that credit card. That is one of my best credit cards, you know, and I use it pretty much mostly on a daily basis because I get pretty good points on the things that I use, which is gas, eating out, and like how to go groceries. You know, these are the three things that I spend my money on, and I get three times the points on all of them, you know.
Wow.
So I am constantly racking up points, and most of my travels, you know, I've stayed at Marriott Bonvoy hotels,
yes.
and it has been amazing. It really has. But also, you know, coming to the flight thing, also, I mean, just like you said, it's all about research, you know.
Absolutely.
And I was doing research, you know, not too long ago, because on Instagram, all I follow is all these travel bloggers, you know, people like you.
You know, me too. So,
you know, I want to know where they're going, you know. So I heard one of them, you know, was talking about, you know, how she gets her flight tickets. You know, she goes to this website called Skyscanner. You know, that's where she goes, and she will put whatever city that she is in, and the destination, she will just put anywhere in the world. And then the months or the days that she has to go, there's an option that will just choose for you the cheapest month in the whole year.
Yes.
So you just choose the cheapest month, and it brings you the whole year, the cheapest month during that whole year of where you can go. And it brings you the list of all these cities in the world and how much it's going to cost you. And I think that was just so amazing, you know, and I've been on that thing, man, all like every day, just looking at places and that
kind of thing. And also not just tickets. It also gives you hotels.
Also,
it also
exactly.
gives you, yes, cars yes. for hire.
Yeah,
because some
exactly.
people like to rent their own cars when they go to certain places. They want to drive around. Yeah. I think I remember which one of you went to Hawaii with your family.
That's AJ.
And you had rented a car so that you could see the rest of the island on your own. So you find a lot of families want to do that. They want to do some exploring on their own without a tour guide or without jumping on and off of a bus, or there's other people with them. So yeah, it's Skyscanner deals are the business. And sometimes you'll find tickets. For example, when we were going to Maldives, a lot of people think, oh, Maldives, super expensive. It does not have to be. Mm. Now, we did not hold back when it comes to Maldives because we were like, it's our 40th. We're going with a bang. But we were able to find really good ticket prices. And again, that's a long trip. That's not a trip that you want to do on standby. You want to make sure that you have confirmed tickets.
So going back to the Marriott hotel, I don't know if I told you this part, but I got my Marriott credit card maybe about 6 months ago. And I got 3-night certificates. I don't know how to use them yet. So I'm planning on figuring out how to use them. How do you, do you just go to the app or the website? Yeah.
So basically you're going to go to the app and you're going to book where you want to go. So depending on, let's say you and your wife are going to Cancun. When it comes time, it's going to ask you book with points.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the option you want to click because they've already given you 3 nights. So those points are going to show up on your app. So you're going to book with points instead of just booking. And when it confirms the booking, it's going to come out to $0 because you're not having to pay for any of it. And then you get your confirmation. And when you get there, you just pull out your confirmation number when you're checking in and they see that you're booking with points, but you have the points because they gave it to you.
Right.
Where someone who didn't get those points, you have to travel a couple stay with the Marriott, the different chains for a couple of nights to be able to gain those points and get to a point where you can actually book with points.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Maldives. Par and I have it very, very high on our list.
the old water
bungalows.
Yes.
Turquoise water. It's
the Maldives is just like I told you, AJ, you're going to love Greece. Listen, when you get to the Maldives, you're going to have a hard time coming back. These islands are just absolutely beautiful. And when you fly into the city, you take these smaller airplanes. I forget what they call them, that land on water.
The water.
And yes, and it's going to take you to your island that you're going to because there's so many of the small islands.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what resort you're staying at, the welcome is so nice. The people are so nice. They're so humble. The food is good. The water is see-through. The weather is nice and warm. The overwater bungalows are so spacious. And there's so much space between your bungalow and the next that you actually have the freedom to, you know, skinny dip if you want with your partner right into the ocean. And it's not like anyone's going to see you. The entertainment, it's every night. Like, depending on the resort you stay at, they'll have live bands. They're going to have some dancing. They're going to have some, you know, people with the fires. They put it in their mouth and all of that. They're going to have some traditional performances as well. The spa is something your wife must do or do it even as a couple. Because these are things that, like, I feel like they're, like, once-in-a-lifetime experiences. Of course, you can go again and again and again if you love it. But you want to make sure you take advantage of doing those things as a couple, like having a couple's massage and just walking back to your villa after eating dinner, that process. They also have personal carts that drive you around because sometimes it can be far from where the dining places are to where your overwater bungalow is and you have your personal butler. I mean, it was absolutely amazing.
So I look at that and I see the water. You know, I grew up in Fajara.
Nice.
You know, we used to go to the beach and that's where I learned how to swim. And, you know, even though we were told not to go to the beach and swim. But Pat was a good boy and he didn't learn to swim. And I'm trying to tell him that it's not too late to learn to swim. Do you think that he's going to be, because I saw you swimming in your Instagram, but do you think that he's going to be missing out for those type of destination if you don't know how to swim?
Yeah, because I mean, what are you going to put on a floater? Listen.
That's what I did when I went to Mexico.
Good for you.
But you know, I was on the floater the whole time.
I don't blame you. But guess what? You could take swimming lessons at your local swim club.
Right, right.
You know, and even in the winter, it's the perfect time for the indoor pools to go and take some lessons and you can learn. But like, for example, just swimming in the ocean in Greece, oh, with the boat that was docked literally in the middle of the ocean, and we get to just jump out there and swim and have a good time. Like, it was amazing. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. You have to make sure that
Definitely.
You learn how to swim so you can really
not only part, but my wife too. She needs to learn how to swim as
you know, that is one thing that I'm really jealous of AJ of, you know, that he knows how to swim and I do not, you know. So you've just started this whole, you know, solo traveling thing, and you've talked about, you know, traveling with your spouse as well and traveling with the whole family. So my question to you is, where is next? You know, I want to hear about your list of travel destinations that you have, and me and AJ will also share our list as well. But I want to hear about your list. Where is next?
Definitely Mexico is a country that I would like to go to, believe it or not. And these are such low-hanging fruits for those of us that are in the West.
Exactly.
And you're like, how have I never been?
I know.
Hawaii, AJ, I definitely want to follow in your footsteps and go to Hawaii. Want to go to Jamaica. I definitely want to go to Singapore. I want to go to Japan. And I'm also giving you some of the countries that are on my children's list as well. We would love to do India. We would love to do Cape Town. I've been, but my husband and my children haven't been. And Bali.
Yes.
Nice. Yes.
Paul, what's your list looking like?
My list is pretty long. I don't know if I can go through my whole list.
Give us your top five.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so difficult. Man. I mean, my top five, I think you've been to like almost two of my top five already, you know, which is Maldives and Greece. So.
Okay.
But Santorini, you know, to be specific, you know, when it comes to Greece, you know, because I'm not too much into the historical stuff like AJ is, you know, so I just want to do the touristy thing. So, but Dubai is definitely on top of my list. And this is a place that I will really love to go to. Like I said, you know, Maldives, obviously, you know, that is a place that my wife would love to go on a very special occasion. I don't know which anniversary it's going to be, but that is one of those destinations where she really wants to spend a very special time. Yeah. So are we just talking about just outside the US or inside the US as well?
Everything.
Both. Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, okay. Okay. So inside the US, there's this small town around the San Francisco area called Sausalito. Sausalito is like a really nice touristy small town, you know, just outside of San Francisco. I mean, it is. I've never been to Greece, but the way you explain Greece, it sounds like Sausalito.
Wow. You know?
So, yeah, Sausalito is one of those places that I will really love to go.
And that's just like driving distance from here.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And
okay.
I will say, you know, the other one that I recently added to my list was one that one of our friends, Ibu Cham, you know, talked about during our last walk that we did, Zanzibar. You know,
I've been to Zanzibar.
You have? You've been three of my top fives already. Oh my gosh. You know, and I would just put Bora Zanzibar. Bora there too. Have you been to Bora Bora too?
Not yet.
Okay. So
well, let me just share real quick that my mom is actually from Tanzania.
Whoa.
So growing up, yes, we always went to Tanzania for vacations. So that's how we have family that lives in Zanzibar. My aunt lives in Zanzibar. So I have done Zanzibar quite a bit. And whoa, pa, the food. Ooh. I mean, the water is something else. Like the water is just pristine. It's clear. It's beautiful. It's a Muslim island, as you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you'll feel right at home. There's lots of mosques there.
Nice.
Also, AJ, for you, it also has a very great historic context that you would love to visit some of the slave museums that they have there by the port. You also have, I just can't talk enough about the beauty of the people. Zanzibari people are gorgeous. Beautiful. The men, the women, and the food is so good. They suffer a lot. Food tastes like man. Wow. Yeah. So you would love Zanzibar. Both awesome. Of you.
So the food, is it like the spices that are really nice? Okay.
Yes, because they have a lot of the Arab and Indian influence in Zanzibar, as well as in mainland Tanzania. So you find the food is full of spices. It really tickles all your senses.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, AJ, you're next.
The more I talk to you guys, the more I move stuff up my list. Well, you know, for me, you know, Egypt, Rome, and Greece have to be on the top because of, you know, historic, you know, places that I want to see, things that I've heard about that I want to see. But also, Pa, I didn't tell you this, but we already booked our tickets to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for next for next January.
Awesome, man.
So I've never been to Mexico, and, you know, just that's the next destination, I guess. Okay. But just in the United States, anywhere with warm water, you know, San Diego, Miami, those kind of places, you know, and then obviously Africa. Yes. I want to, you know,
AJ, Tanzania, I kind of feel like you were cheating a little bit. You're giving more than five though, right?
Well, I got more than five.
You got more than five already, and you just keep going, you know.
I haven't even touched on the top yet. Wow. You know, the Maldives and the Bora Bora. I haven't touched on those yet. But yeah, you know, I have a list. You know, I mean, hopefully at some point we'll get to go to all these places. But, you know, it's a beautiful world. It's a big world. And, you know, I want to see a lot of it.
And I think a place that, you know, I would really love to go that I did not mention is Seychelles.
Yes.
That is
actually, we were just talking about our mutual friend, one of my co-hosts for the Devil Unfiltered, Dr. Nafi. She actually went to the Seychelles with her husband.
Wow.
So we'll have to get her.
She's always traveling.
Tell us how that was.
Yeah, Dr. Nafi is always traveling. I'm always on her Facebook, just, you know, seeing all these pictures of these nice places. I think she went to Zanzibar recently, right?
Yes. Was it Zanzibar? I know she went on a safari.
She went somewhere. Yes.
Recently. Yeah. I think maybe it was Mombasa, because I think they went on a safari in Nairobi. Wow. Yes. Yeah.
I had a coworker that went, used to go to Uganda to help on an NICU clinic over there. And then she went on the safari. Basically, she have hundreds of pictures on Facebook on the safari, the whole trip. And I'm like, wow, I got to do the safari. We're from Africa. And there's a lot of part of Africa that I haven't seen yet. You know, I only seen a small portion of it. So definitely Tanzania, Zanzibar, South Africa. But I'm cheating, man.
You are going way off, man. You know, I feel like I should have gone last.
No, you can keep going.
Yeah, but I think one thing that, you know, that I will love to do with my kids and my whole family is an Asia tour. Go on a tour to these cities like Shanghai in China, Singapore, you know, Tokyo in Japan, you know, Bangkok, you know, in Thailand, and Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. You know, these are places that I will really love to visit.
Yeah, Thailand is up there. Yes. All of those places. There's certain places that you go that you think about it and you're like, well, I got to try the street food in this part of the place.
So when you go to Zanzibar, Pa, there's a place it's called Forodhani. So it's like an area where every night it's just all street food. Everybody comes and cooks and there out in the open.
Nice.
And you eat.
What is it called again?
Forodhani. So you don't have to spell bother that for me. Eating dinner at your fancy restaurant, because they will not beat the food that you're going to have out there, from the chapati to the pilau to the Nyama Choma. And Nyama Choma is like Afra for us. It's like suya. Yes, but their version to fried plantains. I mean, it's everything is there. So, and then
I'm pretty sure Pa would even though being a vegan or a vegetarian would still have a lot of options over
you're
there
vegetarian.
Too.
Yeah, I may break. You know, I may break the rules when I go
there. When he first came to my house, I gave him some lamb and some chicken. His son was like, "What are you doing?"
I just couldn't say no to AJ. So I was like, you know.
It wouldn't have been polite.
Exactly. You know, so so I'm not sure how familiar you are with Europe. You've talked about your husband being from a European country. Have you like kind of done a European tour? Because I know it's not that expensive, you know, from one European city to another. You know, I've always wanted to do something like that.
You know, we plan on doing that with the kids, but we haven't done one before. But I have been to quite a number of European countries. I was actually born in Sweden because my parents went to school in Sweden. My mom was the daughter of the Tanzanian ambassador, and my dad was the Gambian guy who came on scholarship, and they met, fell in love. And the first two kids were born there. Then they moved to Gambia. So we've been to London a couple of times. As you know, growing up in Gambia, especially the privileged families, going on vacation to London was the thing. Or going for a vacation to the US was the thing. And Germany's like second home for us because my in-laws live there. My sister-in-law, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law lived there, so we're there quite often. And I've been to Paris several times. My first time in Paris was when I got divorced the first time around. My mom took me there, you know, to help, like, you know, make me feel better. And then the next time I went to Paris, I was with my husband, and we had the most romantic Parisian vacation.
It's romantic.
Yes.
It's romantic.
I heard.
Yes. But back to the European tour. So there's a train that you can take that basically takes you to at least four of the biggest European cities. You can hop on and off as you please. So you can hop off in one city, spend at least 2 days there, just doing some touristy things and taking pictures and doing some exploring, then get back on the train and go to the next stop. And that's something that's on our bucket list to do with the kids, especially now that they're big.
So do you just buy the train ticket one time and then get off? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then get off and then come back and get off at another. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And it also has different levels, depends on, you know, what your budget looks like. So if you want to be, you know, in the really nice private cabins that have the doors and closed and it's just you and your family, a little bit fancier, or where they're going to serve you food, or you can be, you know, like just take the regular part of the train where you hop on and other people come on and, you know, there's no privacy, but, you know, it's going to take you to where you're going.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Anna, where do you want to take this whole traveling thing to?
My goal with this traveling Sweet Jollof Mamas is to get to a place where not only do I get to empower other women and mothers like myself to leave the kids and husband at home and remember that they're individuals and they deserve to have individual experiences and tap back into the young person that you were and remember all the places that you wanted to see and actually go and do that. I would love, even if it's just one person. Then I would also like to start doing group trips where I go plan these trips and it's like a bunch of girls that come with me, a bunch of women. We'll get to a point where we can do co-ed, you know, trips where it's boys and girls, men and women that can come. We'll have a cutoff age, of course, because we don't want to have any minors on the trips. Then also planning family trips. Like, I just want to be able to experience the world in a safe way and in a very affordable way and bring along as many people as I can. So group trips is something that I'd like to do. Then I want to get to a point where I'm actually working with brands, where brands want to partner with me so that I can highlight their resorts or their hotels or even their countries. Like maybe the Gambian Tourism Board is like, hey, we'd like to do a partnership with you. Mm-hmm. We would want you to do a tour of, you know, maybe Upper River and Lower River and do different trips and really show the best parts of the Gambia. and highlight those on your page and bring people. So that's where I'd like to see this go, really. It's my joy. It makes me happy. And it really doesn't feel like work. Because sometimes people will tell you, listen, at some point, it gets hectic. But I've been traveling so much. I just now started to share. But this is something that I've been doing, you know, literally for as long as I've been married to my husband. We always travel, especially because our families are all over the world. So I'm just now sharing it with the world.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to do that. I mean, I really like the idea. I love the idea because there's a lot of people that want to travel, but without a community of like-minded people and a community that they can go together with, you know, they keep pushing it, you know, down the road and down the road. Yes. Because it's so once you set up that community and it gets people out of their comfort. I mean, they feel comfortable being around other people that they know that we're part of this group, but also that gets them to get out and do it now.
Yes.
Instead of just saying, oh, I don't know if I want to go there by myself, but now you're going with a group that's going together. That's really, really, really neat.
And I think it's something that is really fun. So far I've done two couples trips where I've gone with another couple and one of them was when I was in North Carolina. We went to Asheville. And the other one was during our last year's anniversary, where I went, you know, with one of my close friends, and we did a vow renewal, and he was the one who was officiating the whole thing. So he was there with his wife. So it was so, so amazing. And me and AJ did plan one, but I was not able to go, you know, at the last minute. But that was one that I was also looking forward to. But just to, you know, like how to kind of talk about, you know, what you were saying, these like kind of group trips, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a group, but, you know, just traveling with somebody that you can relate to, you know, and these kind of things, you know, it's really fun. You know, I've had a lot of fun doing that.
And it makes people do it like right now instead of just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Exactly, yes. AJ. That's what I was going to say, because so often you find that people will plan and plan and plan and plan. And it's like, sis, it's not that deep. You do not need to plan for 5 years. You literally could find a ticket in a hotel. Yeah. As Pa said, put it on your calendar. And guess what? You will go.
Yeah.
But when you plan it and it becomes a project and you find a year has gone by, 6 months has gone by, 3 months has gone by, then you just keep pushing it to the back burner. It doesn't become a priority. And what I love about traveling is that it allows you to meet people from different cultures,
exactly,
with different diverse traditions, with distinctive lifestyles that are completely different from yours. And as you travel, you get to discover new worlds, and it gives you the time to just take a moment and reflect on the differences you observe while you're traveling. But more importantly, you see how similar we are as people, right?
Absolutely.
And if you're someone like me who travel is what, you know, gives you joy and makes you just feel alive, do it today. It does, literally, like, get up and go. And I understand sometimes it might come from a place of privilege, like, oh, what do you mean get up and go? Like, I have work, I have children, I have husband, and all that considered, all that taken into consideration, still find the time to go and see the world. Because I remember my dad telling me, I'm so happy to see you traveling and doing the things that you like. What you don't want to do is come to the end of your life and all you've done is take care of people. Mm-hmm. You took care of the bills. You took care of your job. You took care of your husband. You took care of your kids, your mom, your dad. Really? That's how you want to go out? I took care of everything? Right. But what about yourself?
You owe
yourself to live out your dreams.
That's right.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a book about people, the regrets that people have when they are in their dying bed. And I think just not being themselves and being what other people think want them to be, it's one of the big regrets. But I also like the idea of, you know, like just having a lot in common. I mean, we have a lot in common with other people, diverse people. Like, we were in Paris and this couple came and started talking to us. All we have, me and her, the wife, have in common is we have the same camera. And we started talking about cameras and taking pictures and all that stuff. For we were almost late for the Bercy. just standing there talking. So we started, you know, just from having the same camera to just conversation, and found out, you know, that they were on a honeymoon and they were from Dominican Republic and the husband from Texas, you know, those kind of things. So it's really nice, and to meet other people, definitely.
This is one of our favorite topics, man. You know, absolutely. This is something that we can just talk about, you know, on and on and on and on, man. So, you know, but yeah. I know, you know, we do have some time constraints and all of those kind of things. So, you know, I will just let you, you know, go ahead and do your closing and talk to us a little bit about the
why don't we just ask some quick rapid fire questions.
Oh, the rapid fire questions. Oh, yes. So you didn't know about this, Anna. You didn't know about this.
No, wait. What's happening? I'm ready. Oh. Go ahead.
All right, AJ, go ahead.
All right. So, Anna, we didn't tell you about any rapid fire questions, but these are just fun. You know, whatever comes to mind. Number one, what's your favorite book?
Redefining Wealth by Patrice Washington.
I saw that on your Instagram. I have to add that on my list.
Yes, it's a good one.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Now, since we're talking about travel, tell me your favorite destination.
Favorite destination, anywhere in Africa.
Okay. So the other one before AJ comes in is, who will be your ideal dinner guest? Somebody if you were to have dinner with, you know, whether they're alive or they're not here anymore, who is that person that you would just want to have to sit down with and have dinner with?
Miriam Makeba.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Nice. Can you tell us why?
Nice. Yes. I grew up my mom loving her, and I grew up just listening to her music. And she was just one of those women empowerment figures in my mind that I feel like not only would I learn a lot, but I also have a lot of fun with her.
Wow. Well, talking about Miriam Makeba, I do have, you know, one of my favorite songs called Malaika, you know, that I listen to a lot by Miriam Makeba. It's one of my favorite songs. I love it.
Yes.
Next question. What advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
Oh, wow. I think the best advice I could give my 21-year-old self is just relax. Everything is gonna happen as it should, because I was one of those very like determined, like hardworking 21-year-olds. Like I really wanted to make something of my life, and I was a go-getter. And I wish if I could sit down with her, I'll just say, just enjoy being 21. Everything's gonna work out.
Okay. Nice. So the next one will be, tell me your favorite sport, your favorite song, and your favorite movie?
Oh, okay. So my favorite sport is track and field. I already shared, I grew up with a track dad.
Yeah.
My favorite song, right now, my favorite song is Cough by Kiss Danielle. And I'm the kind of person that when I love an artist, I'll listen to every song. And I just went to his concert here in Silver Spring, had an amazing time. And every time he has a dance, I'll do the dance challenge on our family group chat. My poor kids have to do all the Kiss Daniel dance challenges with me. And then we send it and challenge the rest of my siblings. And my favorite movie is Cool Runnings. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Cool Runnings.
The Jamaican bobsled team.
Oh, yeah. Where Leon is?
Cool Runnings.
I think Leon was on that movie. Leon, you
that's
you
right.
Remember
yes,
Leon?
Yeah. Yes, he was. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. That's
wow,
my favorite.
Wow, I haven't
movie.
Seen that movie in a long time. Oh my gosh. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. AJ, do you have a last one?
Yeah, I got a last one here.
Okay.
Usually we ask because this is a money podcast, but you can take the financial part out of it if you want. But what's your biggest mistake, financial or not?
Oh, my biggest financial mistake would be not investing earlier. I wish I would have known about investments at a younger age. My kids are already investing. My son is 9. My daughter is 15, about to be 16. They have their green light accounts. Every month, money goes into those accounts, and they get to tell me what stocks they want to buy. So while his friends are busy buying all the Roblox games, he's buying Roblox stocks.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And my daughter is all about Microsoft. She just wants to keep buying as many Microsoft stocks as she can.
Nice. Smart.
They're both well versed in cryptocurrency. We talk to them about these things. We talk about money. So definitely, I wish I would have known a lot sooner in my life about investing, but I'm making sure that my children know at a younger age.
That is so awesome.
Man, it sounds like just met my kids and past kids as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we could sit here and make a whole episode about kids and money.
We will need to do that. We will need to do that and just bring you back. Seriously. You know,
absolutely. Just, absolutely.
Yeah,
we should do that because even with the travels, we have this thing called the fat budget or the slim budget. So it's like, if we're traveling, they want to know, mommy, is this a fat budget kind of trip or is it a slim budget kind of trip?
So I like that. They know I like that.
It's a fat like budget that. Kind of trip.
Wow.
They're like, oh, we're definitely staying at the Four Seasons or we're going to be staying at some fancy. But they know if it's a slim budget, we're probably staying at Auntie somebody's house.
Yeah.
We're staying at mommy's friend's house.
Oh, I got to steal that fat budget trip and slim budget.
Wow. I've never heard about that.
Yeah. You know,
That is great. That is just so absolutely awesome, man. You know, this has been fun, Anna. You know, we really have a lot of fun talking to you and we can't wait.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely.
If people need to get to know you more, where can they find you?
Definitely the Traveling Sweet Jollof Mamas on Instagram. You can also listen to my podcast, A Lotus Flower Podcast. If you're interested in some R-rated sex education, sex discussion, it's super fun. I also have Deb Unfiltered. I'm a podcaster just like AJ and Pa, where we talk. I have my my girls, Dr. Nafi and our Mary, and we talk about all things relating to just life, whether it's women's health, whether it's marriage and money, which I know was y'all's favorite topic, whether it's talking about our kids going to school, whether it's talking about infidelity. We tackle a lot of the issues that we're also dealing with in our African communities here in the diaspora and back home. And I also, I'm a children's author. So I write children's books through our FIAN network. So you can go on FIAN.com and you can check out all our kids' books, order them, read to your kids and have them be able to see themselves in these books and their experiences reflected back to them.
All right. So I think what we need to do, AJ, is to, you know, put all of those on the show notes just for the folks, you know, can just go ahead and click on it and it will take them straight to, you know.
I know how to find most of them, but if I have problem finding them, I'll have you send me the links
to all those
and I'll put them on the show notes. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Hey, Anna, it's been fun, man. You know, this is, you know, one of the most fun that I've ever had sitting down here recording a podcast, without a doubt.
I don't know how we're going to get people to listen to 2 hours of episode, but this is
fun. Listen, once they start,
exactly, once they start, they will want to finish it. I can tell
exactly. Well, thank you so much, guys. I'm so glad you guys invited me.
Yeah.
Connecting with y'all was so easy. You're both so easy to talk to, so open, and just so warm and welcoming. So this just has been a pleasure. Thank you so much
for coming to our podcast. Definitely, we were so excited to have you, and man, it didn't disappoint, Pat.
No, it did not.
It did not disappoint.
This I knew that it would not. That much I knew. So, all right. Well, thanks, guys, and we will talk to you guys next time.